Welcome to the CA, a podcast about news, current events, and commentary on all things atheism from a Canadian perspective. This podcast carries the explicit tag and wears it like a motherfucking badge of honor. So if you get offended, switch off. The CA records each Sunday live from Apostasy Studios. For more, please visit our Facebook page for the latest news, updates, and previews on some upcoming shows. You can email us at theca@rogers.com, and if we're amused or tweaked by your email, we'll use it on the show. And now, here are Michael and Dean.
All right, and hello. Well, look at that fucking thing. All my fucking papers fell all over the fucking place. We're still recording!
Edit.
Edit. Fuck the edit. Hello, welcome to the CA. Today is Monday, May 1st. I am Michael.
I am Dean.
And as I bend over to pick up all the news stories, I'm flying off my desk. Maybe there is a God. He doesn't want me to share all my stories.
All that wind in this room.
Exactly. How's everybody doing? Hope everybody had a good weekend. And I hope that no one that is hearing this got caught in the mess in Toronto. You hear about that, eh? The hydro vaults blew up at they had to close Scotiabank Plaza.
Oh my god!
Yeah, because hydro vaults underground blew up. It was crazy. Like it looked like
when was this?
Today, like 2 hours ago.
Oh wow!
Yeah, like kaboom! Like crazy shit.
I've been so consumed with my own troubles.
Yeah, well, shit happens. So we got a few things to get to today. We've got our news. We're gonna talk about. We're gonna do our fallacy. We're gonna talk about anecdotes. We're going to do one piece of our continuing series on the effects of church attendance and shit like that, and see what other kind of trouble we can get into. A couple of the news stories are so they are going to prompt some discussion, but I thought we'd get right into it. And so the first thing that I wanted to talk about how you doing, by the way, Dean?
I'm doing all right. I'm
enough about me. What do you think about me?
Struggling with cards. Oh, yeah. Yeah, good. Yeah. Struggling with my cards. Stupidness. Anyway, but you're going to help me out with that tomorrow, so
yay.
Thank you.
Look at that. And I'm doing it, I'm not doing it because I think that there's a benefit in an afterlife.
You're going to get 72 virgins when you die. I always say that you get 72 virgins when you do. What do you do on the 73rd day? You're there for eternity.
Yeah, well. Well, by then, the first few have dried out.
They're all tight again.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I'm old, right? So I need time to recover. I may have to take a day.
Yeah.
Okay. I may have to take a day.
Okay.
Take a day. Yeah,
so, okay. After... Let's be generous.
Yeah.
After 6 months, then what? You're there for eternity. What do you do after the first 1,000 years? What do you have to do after the first 10,000 years?
Is there a trade-in program?
And you're still with these same old...
Wow, that was
crusty
sexist.
Old bags. Trade-in program. That's wow. What my dad always said. Like when my mom turned 60, my dad said, I'm going to trade you in for three 20-year-olds.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, I think that's a dad thing. I think my dad said the same thing, and then my mom punched him in the face.
No, my mom said the joy would kill you.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is probably true too.
Alrighty. Well, okay. So let's do. So we were talking about all these different questions. You know what happens. What happens in the church and stuff like that. And so today, question five is: what happens to evangelism in a low attendance world? What do you think happens to evangelism in a low attendance world?
Let's pray it goes away.
Yeah.
No, evangelism? It's based on attendance.
Right.
So it has to not be good.
Well, you'd think, but it's almost like a trick question. Because, so, in a low attendance world, evangelism has to ramp up. Your the proselytizing,
it's so bad already.
So the proselytizing has to ramp up, right? They have to reach more. So if people aren't attending, they have to the people who are that are attending, they have to reach out more to try to bring people into the fold. It was very weird when I read it too. I was like, I'm not sure if that makes a lot of sense, but when you think about it for a second, maybe it does. For example, if you think now, so you and I both belong to a bunch of atheist groups and stuff like that on Facebook. I also belong to a lot of Christian groups because I'm a glutton for punishment. No, and they give me news stories. No, and it's fun to troll. No, and okay, all of the above. So I belong to a lot of Christian groups as well, and so I'll go in there and I'll have these discussions and stuff like that, and I'll say whatever it is. You know, I'm not convinced, blah, 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 doesn't matter. You know, I'll lead with something, you know, fairly generic. And I get pounced on. Facebook pounce. People come on and say, oh, you know, we're praying for you with this and the other thing. I've had people want to call me.
Really?
I've had people saying, you know, can I have your number? I'll give you a call. And in my head, I'm like, fuck you. Like, I don't fucking know. And I've almost said the same thing, like, if I have no fucking idea who you are, so no, I'm not giving you my telephone number.
Yeah.
But, you know, because they've wanted to have, like, a prayer circle around me. that's happened. So, in a low-attendance world, evangelism has to ramp up. Because there's, I mean, I don't know whether it's a, like, a quota. Quota sounds harsh. But where you have to, if you don't have asses in the seats, you don't get coins in the coffers. If you don't get coins in the coffers, then, you know, what does the priest, you know, how does the priest buy the candy bars?
Buy his Maserati.
Yeah, exactly. So in a low attendance world.
Were you going to make a joke about candy bars?
Yes, I was. And I stopped myself. And now you brought it back up again, so it's your fault. So the thought going through everybody's mind right now is not my fault. It's not, I'm innocent. That's on you. So, yeah. Not my fault. I didn't actually say it.
I caught the candy bar thing.
So there's that horrible, I'm not going to say the joke. This is just horrible. Do I have to say the joke?
Yeah, you have to, yeah.
So I'm going to fuck it up, though. But, so there's this old, I'll remember the joke and we'll do it next week because I'll fuck it up, and then it's a funny joke and I don't want to fuck up the punchline.
Okay.
So I'll do it next week. Remind me. So, all right. So let's break into, so that happens. And then next week we're going to talk about, what happens to discipleship. It's a weird word in a virtual environment. Discipleship.
Okay.
I don't know. We'll work that out. No cheating, everybody. Don't look up the answer.
Discipleship. So that's like when Jesus likes your Facebook page.
I don't know. Exactly. And does the thumbs up have a hole in it?
JC liked my post.
Yeah, exactly. JC in the house. Okay. So let's break into news. So I've got three. I don't know how many you've got.
I just have one, but we'll get to yours and we'll get to mine if there's time, because I know that yours is going to raise some discussion.
Okay, so in why the fuck would you do that news? Saudi Arabia is set to execute those who insult the Prophet.
Of course.
A Saudi Arabian man who renounced Islam and made disparaging remarks about the Prophet on his social media page has been sentenced to death. Authorities became aware of, I'm not going to try to pronounce this poor man's name, Ahmed, I'll just say his first name, in 2014, after he uploaded a series of videos reflecting his views on his social media pages. He was subsequently arrested on charges of atheism.
Charges of atheism?
Yeah.
Okay.
So let's think about that for a second. That's the very essence of what Christopher Hitchens would call, you know, totalitarianism. Thought crime.
Well, it's also, I mean, I think apostasy is like a crime.
You're in apostasy studios. Exactly. You're in apostasy studios.
If you're like apostasy is against the law there. If you renounce God, that's punishable by death,
which is fucked up. Right. So he was arrested on charges of atheism and blasphemy. Blasphemy, I've always found a funny one, right? Because we talked about this in episode one, right? The fact that there's a blasphemy libel law in Canada.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Right? Exactly. Motherfucker. God damn it. But there's a blasphemy libel law in Canada. And I would knock on wood, you know, knock, knock, knock. Not that that's a thing, but just as a figure of speech. that, you know, we never got, you know, we never get taken down. I don't, we're not that important. Nobody's knocking on our door to take us down. You know, we've got two listeners and we're both sitting here. But the whole idea that the blasphemy, you know, like basically offending this imaginary thing or likely imaginary thing. If I was ever hauled into court, I'd be like, please produce the offended subject.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
You know, drag his ass up here or down here. Yeah. Whatever. And let's, you know.
Well, Muhammad wouldn't be able to show up, but all the people that follow him sure would.
Yeah, and that's fine. But, you know, it's like Lawrence Krauss says, you know, I respect people but not ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, you know, I'll respect those people. And I may even, like, in a crazy situation like that, I might actually even apologize to those people. You know, I'm sorry that I offended you. But I wouldn't apologize for the thing that I said.
Yeah, it's your right to say
it. Because it's fucking stupid. And I would say that. So, okay, so charges of atheism and blasphemy. He faced trial and was sentenced to death and is now awaiting his execution. So there's that.
You're going to kill somebody for using their friggin' brain.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what? I thought about it. I read this silly book, and I came to a different conclusion than the one you told me to have.
Exactly.
So now you're going to kill me.
Exactly. Don't go using that sponge between your ears. Okay. I wish I could say the news gets better from there.
News is... I don't watch news anymore.
It doesn't get better from there. So,
mainly because it's depressing to the point of, like, of what's going to happen to our planet.
Right. So, okay. So, speaking of depressing. So, in Let's Find a Person Who's Totes Not Qualified to Do a Job news, Donald Trump taps anti-abortion architect for health job and administration. Oh, yes.
This guy is, it's like him and Spicer and all these dudes are trying to do as poor a job as possible.
You think so?
It seems like that. Like
you think it's like a big joke? It's like, guys, what can we fuck up
today? I don't think it's a big joke. I think that they're just that ill-informed and don't want to do the job. Like,
yeah, maybe.
Trump wanted to win. Now that he's won, he doesn't know what the fuck to do.
I've talked to a lot of people. It's like, I think he wanted to win, but he didn't want to do the job. He wanted to be like, I could win, mic drop.
He certainly doesn't want to do the job. It's evident in what hasn't been done in his first 100 days.
Right.
And the fact that he hasn't appointed the people that he needs to appoint to run the government properly. The government might even shut down because of his
freaking, yeah, there's, they have
budget
to,
hasn't been
they
hasn't
have been to approve finalized. Some. They have to do an emergency approval by Thursday.
Yeah.
To let the government be funded until August or something like that.
And there's no work. Like, there's nobody to do the work because he hasn't appointed people. Like, apparently, there's 200 positions that need to be appointed. He's appointed less than 36.
Wow.
It's been 100 days.
Yeah.
That's over 3 months. And he's been spent most of it golfing.
Stop showing off with your math skills.
He's spent most of it golfing.
Yeah,
even exactly. Though he said he would not go golfing when he was in office.
Yeah.
And he made a 100-day contract with the American voter. And then, what has he done from that contract? Zero.
Well, he's come back, and he said that 100-day thing was, you know, was really
some proposed 100-day stupid thing. It's like, right. No, you made the contract.
No, he didn't. Just ask him. No, I didn't. I didn't say that. Okay, so President Trump, announced his appointment of, hopefully I get this name right, Charmaine Yost, a leading architect of anti-abortion legislation and activism, to be assistant, this is a mouthful, to be assistant secretary of public affairs at the Department of Health and Human Services. Say that 3 times fast. Yost most recently worked as a senior fellow for American Values, the religious group founded by Gary Bauer. I don't know who he is. I'll find that out. If anybody knows, send us an email. And previously led Americans United for Life, or AUL, the group that helped draft model legislation used by lawmakers in states across the country to undermine abortion services. She also once served as vice president of the Family Research Council And this, and it should be noted that even though Southern Poverty Law has done some kooky things lately, Southern Poverty Law Center has designated them as a hate group. I think it's really funny. This was, I don't remember who pointed this out. I read it somewhere. But essentially, if you have the word family or values in your organization, then you are almost guaranteed to be a hate group looking to oppress people and limit people's rights.
Yeah, and take away women's rights.
Yeah, like the Family Research Council, you know, the was it the Council for American Liberties or some shit like that? They're, it's crazy. In 2014, Yoast said that AUL, the American Union for Life, was responsible for 1/3 of pro-life laws since 2010. The period when states passed a record number of laws attacking abortion rights, ALU championed the incrementalization strategy to make abortion care more and more difficult to access. So it used to be, and there was another part, I think it was before Godless Bitches stopped broadcasting a while ago. Bring that back, guys, if anybody's here's listening that has influence. Bring that back. I like GB. They were saying that there were all these states where, you know, lots of abortion clinics. And what they had to do was they would pass these funky laws so that there had to be, like, a doctor who had rights at a hospital within a certain driving distance of an abortion clinic. And what that meant was, like, a state like, you know, like, whatever state, Blamo, Texas, for example, went from having, like, 100 clinics to 6 or something like that. And that meant that women had to drive 300 miles or some even shit like
cross
that.
Cross state lines.
Exactly. In order to get it. And so it was just trying to limit their ability to access abortions.
Yeah.
It didn't stop the abortions. It just meant that they were having unsafe abortions.
Yep.
You know, the back alley thing, the coat hanger, whatever you want to call shit, a horrible shit like that. And it jeopardized the health and welfare of these women. The funny thing of when you talk about, especially this group, so the Americans United for Life, these are, I think it's fair to say, please feel free to anybody to correct me if I'm wrong, but these are all hyper right wing Republican groups.
Of course.
And they are not pro life.
Not at all.
They're pro fetus.
Yes. Because once it's born,
that's your fucking
not
problem.
My problem.
That's your fucking, raise your kid. What do you want fucking government money for?
Exactly.
Shouldn't have had the kid. You wouldn't let me get the abortion. I didn't want the kid. You made me have the kid.
Yeah.
They should have to, there should be positions, you know, things in place.
You know what? There's a bunch of kids in the orphanages. We'll send them all to your house.
Exactly. You take care of them.
You want them born, you take care of them.
Yeah. So I think that this, you know, here's another instance. Well, you said all these cabinet positions not filled, and the people he is filling them with are either ridiculously unqualified or
directly opposed to the position they're
exactly
given.
Like, what's her name, DeVos, right?
Yeah,
you know, now Secretary of Education, never attended public education, kids never attended public education.
She likes privatizing education. She wants to.
She wants to privatize education. She wants the voucher program. She wants charter schools, religious schools, all this other stuff. And that flies in the face of, well, it flies in the face of separation of church and state. It flies in the face of so many things. And it's this, you know, kind of hyper-marginalization of these groups. So, sadly, and it's funny because we get the ability to talk about this from a degree of detachment, right? Being in Canada, where we don't have to put up with this shit.
We get the splash off.
We get the splash effects, and because we're all citizens of the world, we do have to put up with it because eventually these people may have an impact on someone we care about,
mm-hmm.
or you know these broad, you know, the drop, you drop the pebble in the pond and the ripple effect, and eventually it, you know, oops, there goes my paper again. God blow my paper on. The ripple effect where it ends up affecting you at some way anyway.
Well, we all have friends, and even in my place. Family that live in the States, and they're dealing with this. I mean, it's I still don't know how he won. I mean, it's just ridiculous. I mean, I watched Last Week Tonight with John Oliver as often as I can, and every week he's got something to say about Trump, because every week there is something to say about Trump.
Every day, every few minutes.
So, I mean, just what he's doing with North Korea and the lies upon lies upon flip-flops, it's just ridiculous.
I love this shit about the, we're sending an armada.
Yeah. And it wasn't even there.
No, was it, they say 3,000 nautical miles away?
They're heading the other direction.
In the other direction. But they'll eventually get there. Yeah. Except if you're a flat earther. Then they won't get there. but if you subscribe to the truth that the earth is round, then eventually they get back around.
Well, no, they'd have to go.
Oh, fuck.
What is that?
Oh, it's my wife texting me. I love you, baby. You're texting me. Your texts are now on our podcast.
That's loud.
Yeah. Well, I got the fucking volume turned up. Anyway, ding, ding. It wasn't Jesus, people. It was my wife. She's out of town on business. Okay.
It was a knockout punch for Jesus.
Exactly. So why don't you do your news story while I send her a text and say, stop!
All right. So this one is from the Daily News, the opinion page of the Daily News, saying how... the title is The Attack on Atheists Continue. But I think it's just more of a discussion about how the Bible or religious people do not have the upper hand as far as morals are concerned. A lot of religious people think that, oh, where do you get your morals from if you don't believe in God and all this kind of stuff? But basically what they're saying is not only morals, but they think that if you're religious, you live a better life. You actually have... You're a better person. But they've done a few studies, and they find that less than 1% of the prison population identifies as atheist.
Right.
And that's very telling. So the other 99% are religious in some way, shape, or form. Perhaps not religious, but deist or something. But I'm very sure that a very large percentage of the population is religious. Whether they turn to religion once they're there, or they're religious when they got there, is another issue to be solved. But basically what this article was saying, that you do not need religion to be a good person. And the numbers of the prison show that. I was just going to read some of this article here. Kasich is the guy who is studying this, went on to say, if a culture doesn't have a set of objective realities and a way in which to judge our own behavior or to guide our own behavior, I think we get lost. And we're seeing that today. So,
bullshit.
It was clear that by objective realities, Kasich meant belief in a deity.
Sure, of course.
Yeah.
That how many times do you hear, well, if you don't believe in God, where do you get your morals from?
Yeah.
Which is dumb. And so let's go back to what you said before. Okay, so high percentage of the prison population being believers. And we chatted about this a little bit, right, before we started up. So my thought is, if you're in jail, and I've never been, and I haven't heard it's lovely. I don't plan to visit. But... you likely don't have a lot to look forward to, especially if you're in there for a long period of time, right? Mm-hmm. If you get an extended pass, you're likely in there for a long time. You don't have a lot to look forward to, right? Maybe religion is the only game in town.
It all depends on who you want to sit with during lunch hour, right?
It's entirely possible. But I mean, so we can look at both sides of the coin. If you need something to grab onto so you keep your shit together, then you fall into, for lack of a better term, religion. The other side of the coin is, you were religious beforehand, and those morals and teachings didn't keep you out of fucking prison. So so what happened there? I mean, either way is not a particularly rosy...
Yeah, but religion doesn't give you that, I failed you, so now it's okay to not believe. It's, you didn't follow the practices closely enough, or you need to be even more religious.
I wasn't
testing your faith garbage.
Oh, I wasn't a real Christian.
Yeah. Well, the guy who's writing this article says, as an atheist, I often have to deal with the moral compass argument. The idea that morality cannot exist without belief in a deity. In fact, according to a Pew Research study, 45% of Americans say that a belief in God is necessary to have good values.
Really?
51% say that they would be less likely to support an atheist for president, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, it's absolutely crazy. I mean, so if you look at the Decalogue, okay, you've got four which, you know, speak to any kind of morality.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't kill, don't steal, don't lie. What's the other one? Don't commit adultery.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Okay. The first four, thou shalt have no God but me, no graven images,
yeah,
remember the Sabbath day, don't take the Lord's name in vain. All four of those are, I'm God, don't piss me off, or I'll squish you like a fucking bug.
Yeah.
They have nothing to do with morality whatsoever.
None.
And then you have coveting, and what's the last one?
It's envy. Is it? No,
that's the coveting. Deadly sins. That's coveting. Yeah, envy's not.
Anyway.
Shit. Okay, well, fuck. We got nine. Anyway, I can do better. I can throw one in that isn't there. How about don't rape? There. I've just improved on the Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this question, Dean. Because you're an atheist, you have no morals. How many people have you brutally murdered? Hang on, whoa. Let me refine that question. You maybe haven't killed them yet. But how many are you planning to?
Nobody on my list right now.
Shit. Well, fuck. Yeah, I mean, it's like, I have killed exactly as many people as I wanted to.
Yeah.
It just turns out, and that number happens to be zero. That's a quote from Penn Jillette, from one of the talks that he gave. And it's just ridiculous that, you know, oh, where do you get your morals from?
Well, the whole, when people say, like if you don't believe in God, then why don't you can just go and rape and kill and whoever you want. It's like, yeah, and I have.
Yeah.
Exactly zero. And are you telling me that the only reason why you don't go around killing and raping people is because you think there's punishment after you die?
That's frightening. That's terrifying. The
only reason you're that's not doing terrifying. It?
And it's funny, I've heard Matt Dillahunty once, he was talking to somebody on the Atheist Experience, and he said, if your belief in God is the only thing keeping you from doing those things, please keep believing.
Mm-hmm.
Because
you are dangerous.
Exactly. Because if that's the only thing keeping you from doing that stuff, it makes me wonder, it's like these people who are these hyper pastors, what is some of those fucking wing nuts? Josh Feuerstein. And Greg Locke and Dustin Seegers, some of these crazy internet apologists,
yeah.
Cy Ten, some of these guys, it's like, if that's what's keeping you in line is the fear of eternal damnation, then you are dangerous, and please, 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 please clutch your Bible tight every night. Yeah. And believe all that shit. Because it may be the only thing keeping people in your life or in your neighborhood safe from you.
Yeah. Well, there's another quick quote from this article. It says, when Steve Harvey announced the Wrong Miss America winner, he was brutalized in the media.
Yeah.
But when before that, he told Joy Behar that he wouldn't even talk to an atheist. He would just walk away.
Yep.
There was no condemnation.
Well, it was funny because I remember that that part of that storyline or that bit when he's talking to Joy Behar is part of the wrap-up, part of the outro for Angry Black Rant.
Mm-hmm.
When which is a great podcast. Listen to it if you haven't. Ishmael Brown's fucking hysterical. At one point, you know, like when it's getting ready to wrap up, it goes into this thing where little sound bits are played. And it says, well, you know, it's like an atheist is someone who doesn't quite believe that there's a God. And then Steve Harvey says, well, then to me, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
It's like, well, what? And that in that same clip is where he says, you know, it's like, you know, and then we were supposed to be evolved from monkeys. Why do we still have monkeys?
Yeah.
That's the stuff that aneurysms are made of. Because when you hear shit like that, fucking veins pop in my head.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you're dumb as showing. when you say stuff like that. Like, you're, you know, people say, oh, it's not nice to get people. No, no. Steve Harvey, if Steve Harvey truly believes that, he is a remarkable stupid.
Well, there was that guy, they were like, you know, I'm a celebrity, get me out of here thing. And then one of the Baldwin brothers is on there.
Oh,
the same thing. If we're evolved from apes, why are there still apes?
Yeah.
We're not evolved from apes. Yeah. Apes and humans evolved from a common ancestor.
That's right.
We both come from the same ape-like animal.
Yeah.
We did not evolve from apes. Apes and humans evolved along different genetic lines because we're separated by geography.
Yeah.
And
preach
whatever things.
Preach it, brother.
And we did not evolve from apes. Apes and humans evolved from a common ancestor.
Yeah, no,
just that like was, everything else evolved from a common ancestor. We all came from one single organism. This is fact, people. Not opinion.
The greatest Richard Dawkins, The Greatest Show on Earth. Great book where he talks about the tree of life, and he says it's actually more like a bush,
mm-hmm.
you know, less of a tree that branches off. He calls it more of a bush. And when he's talking about it, he said if you take any modern species, so you take cat, you know, typical domesticated cat, if you take it back far enough, you get to something called the hairpin. And from that hairpin, when you get back to the basically in ancestry, and from that hairpin, you could go from cat to giraffe.
Yeah.
You could go from cat to hippopotamus.
Yeah.
And it's all about that hairpin. And he talks about just that, about how the ancestry is all linked. It's like, I forget exactly, and I'm going to get this wrong because I haven't read that book in a while. I should reread it. He says the difference in our DNA patterns is like 2%.
Yeah.
You know, like between almost all species on the planet, like there's so much in common.
Yeah, we all have the
same DNA. There's so much in common, and there's just this one little snippet that's different.
Yeah.
That makes you know, Homo sapien from hippopotamus and all these other different things.
Like a daffodil or something. Exactly. But I mean, like it was Ancestry's Tale or something like that from Richard Dawkins, right? That's he goes over that in Greatest Show on Earth.
Yeah.
Greatest Show on Earth is like a compilation of all his previous books.
Yeah.
But Ancestor's Tale is the one where he actually goes through it all, and he starts at human and he goes right back down to the beginning of life. But he says, I start at human for ease of writing. I could start at any animal on the planet today and write the exact same book. Because it keeps going down branches, and you get to connector points, and eventually leading to the root of the bush.
Yeah.
And you can go to any animal that's on the top, that's on the top branch. With us, so you can start with whales, you can start with a giraffe, you can start with a hyena. Doesn't matter. It all goes back down to the same organism. Right.
But, and here's where I put my creationist hat on. Let me grab my Bible. But how did that first life start?
And that's not evolution.
Exactly. But
jumping sciences here. Yeah, that's what pisses me off. They always do that. They go, but how did that start? Well, okay, no, we're switching sciences now.
Yeah.
Evolution is the reason why we have the diversity of life that we have. It's got says nothing about Genesis.
Yeah,
it says
exactly.
Nothing about the beginning of life itself.
Yeah, and we don't. And right now, to we the best know? Of our knowledge, we don't know. We don't know how chemistry became biology.
We don't know if life was brought here from another planet.
Panspermia. Yeah, we don't know. All we know is that it happened.
Because we're here
talking about it. We're here being blasphemous atheist assholes and loving it. It's very, very interesting. That's a very cool article. I don't think that helps the religious.
Well,
using that article,
the second last paragraph in this article talks about two research studies that were done at the Chicago of Illinois. One was that it found that atheists are no less likely to perform altruistic acts than religious people.
Right.
Because we're all just people. We're going to be nice to other people, whether you believe in God or not. And then the other one was that they actually found that atheistic children, I hesitate to use the word because I don't like labeling children because they don't know yet, but they're saying, at least they say, atheist children are more likely to share than religious children. So I'm assuming that these are children with atheist parents and children with religious parents. the ones that haven't been taught to fear the other are more likely to share with anyone.
That's interesting. That's interesting. I tried my best to raise my daughter to just be a good person. But yeah, I'd be curious to read to read those studies. As far as the atheist being altruistic, I try very specifically to help people regardless of who they are or what they believe. Interestingly, I've had a couple, this leads me to a couple of, one other thing that I wanted to chat about, but what I try to do is, you know how you'll see someone sometimes panhandling or stuff like that. If I go sometimes on a day off or something like that, I'll go into downtown Toronto and I'll just walk up and down Yonge Street cause it's cool. I, reminisce when I was a kid and when there used to be video arcades down there and stuff like that.
Same record, man.
Exactly. And, I'll walk up and down Yonge Street, and stuff like that and have a good time. And when you go by, there's oftentimes, sadly, downtown Toronto has a fairly large homeless population. And there will be people sitting on the street with a sign saying whatever it is, with a cup or something like that. And oftentimes, I won't give money. And the reason I don't give money is because I don't want to feed a habit. So what I have done in the past is I said, hey, are you hungry?
Okay.
And I'll take them. I'll say, well, come with me. I'll buy you a slice of pizza. Or I'll buy you a sandwich or something like that. Sometimes they're less likely to. I've been taken up on that offer a couple of times, and I've taken people to get a sandwich or a piece of pizza or a coffee or whatever is like that, and almost always, 9 times out of 10, and I've done this a number of times, 9 times out of 10, I get a God bless,
yeah,
at the end of it. When that happens, I make sure to tell that person that I'm an atheist.
Yeah.
And that I did this to help you as a person. And I don't believe in the God you believe in.
Yeah.
And in fact, and then there are a couple of times I've gotten into discussion and say, do you believe in this God? And it's hard not to be brutal about it, but like, look where you are.
Yeah.
You're on the street with a fucking cardboard sign and a cup in your hand.
And somebody who doesn't believe just helped you out.
Exactly. So what does that say? And it's hard because it's hard to not be a total fucking raging cock. And do something like that. But you try to ask those provocative questions. But I always, if I say it, I'm always like, I actually don't believe in that stuff. So it leads me to the other story. So I'm working, right? And I'm not going to share what I do for a living. But I have a fairly front-facing job. I interact with the public a lot. So I'm interacting with a member of the public. And a gentleman says to me, I don't want to be preachy. But I'm on my way to church to share my testimony about how Jesus has helped me. And, if you have time later, you can stop by this church and it'd be really good. And I think, I really get the feeling that the power of the Holy Spirit will be there today. He says this shit to me.
Just like out of the blue, or just because he knows that you're a non-believer or what?
No, he doesn't know. He has no way of knowing I'm a non-believer. I mean, with the clothes that I'm wearing.
Yeah,
like, I have tattoos, but you can't see the tattoos that I'm working.
He just said this out of the blue?
He just says this right out of the fucking blue.
Okay.
Says right out of the fucking blue. Because I have a really strong feeling that the power of the Holy Spirit is going to be there today. And if you have time and inclination, I'd love for you to be there. And I'm like, thank you. I couldn't say anything else.
Yeah.
I was pulling the hair I don't have out of my head. Being like, fuck, I want to say something. We're like, here, pull up my pant, pull up my pant leg. Look at my tattoo. Yeah. Hold up and pull up my shirt. Look at my other tattoo. I don't believe that shit, but I couldn't.
Yeah.
But that kind of stuff happens a fair bit, and how did we get on this? I don't fucking remember now. Brain fart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Happens when you get older.
Yeah, but anyway. So that happened to me, and it's this whole thing, about religious people and stuff like that. Anyway, I'm not going to try to recover that part of the conversation. It's gone. Anyway, that was an experience that I had. Okay, so my last news story. So you've heard of the war on Christmas, right?
the war on Christmas.
We're not talking about a war on Christmas anymore. This is a war on Christ.
Oh.
And Christians. So anti-LGBTQ activist warns, this is funny, listen to this. This is the title of the fucking article. This article is by Kyle Mantilla. from April 28th. Anti-LGBTQ activist warns that equality activists are in a war with Christ and Christians. This guy is clearly mentally deficient. In the title of his fucking article, equality activists. So, since when are people that are searching for equality, like, why is equality a problem? Anyway, let's get to that afterwards. Okay, so, earlier this month, the Texas chapter of the anti-LGBTQ hate group, Mass Resistance, hosted a pro-family conference. There's that family again. Featuring a variety of anti-LGBTQ activists, like Peter LaBarbara, who I don't know, of, listen to this, of Americans for the Truth About Homosexuality.
Truth about it, eh?
The truth about
I'm
it.
I'm sure they're spouting tons of truth.
Well, I mean, the truth about homosexuality, they're gay. There's the truth.
Get over it.
Right. Brian Kamiker of Mass Resistance, and Robert Oscar Lopez, who runs a Texas chapter of Kamiker's group of Mass Resistance. Sharon Arkme, and I'm probably saying that name wrong, but I don't give a shit, who claimed that she was a victim of anti-Christian persecution when she was denied certification in a master's program she had enrolled in at Texas State University. And she said, quote, because I would not agree with their LGBT agenda. She had told attendees that LGBTQ advocates are warring against Christ and Christians and brainwashing our children.
So, wait. She just said that she was denied this degree?
So, she was denied access to enrolling into the master's program because in order to be a student at Texas State University, you have to say, I'm not going to be a douchebag towards LGBT members of the community.
That doesn't seem it doesn't sound to me like she was denied. She denied it.
Yeah, and it's like, what? What? You mean I can't be a hateful bitch? you mean I can't spew my hate and discrimination against a group?
So I'm not going to enroll.
You're not going to let me into your school so I can be a hateful asshole?
Yeah.
Fuck off. Okay, so.
Sounds like she turned away, though. They didn't turn her
and
away.
And brainwashing our children. Unless we're talking about serious prodigies, there are not children attending university.
No.
These are very, very likely at least 18 years old. So they're adults.
Yes.
But they're brainwashing our children. Okay. I did not realize the full agenda of the radical left, Arkman told the audience. They are in a war with Christ and Christians, whether we realize it or not. They are not content with society and Christians treating them with outreach, courtesy, and respect that should be given to other human beings just because they are human. They want us to approve their behavior. They will not stop until they dominate. Fuck off, fuck off, fuck off, fuck off. Christians treating them with outreach. Yeah, you know what? Members of the LGBT community don't want you going out there and saying, Leviticus 2013, you're going to burn in hell. Yeah. Repent, sodomites. Yeah, no fucking shit.
You're
they don't
an
want
abomination.
That. Exactly.
Yeah, that this is the outreach, the compassionate outreach that the religious people have shown to the LGBT community.
Yeah, I don't have a hard time believing that members of the LGBTQ community aren't thrilled about that kind of outreach.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like, I just want to say that. I just want to grab her and say, muffin. they want us to approve of their behavior. No, they don't.
Leave them alone.
Yeah, exactly. Leave me the fuck alone. It's like, I said this before. You know, it's like, if you aren't into gay sex, you totally shouldn't have gay sex.
I don't understand why these people get off. It affects you in no
Maybe
way.
Maybe they don't get off. That's
it
the problem.
It doesn't affect you in any way, shape, or form. Live your life.
Yeah.
These people aren't bothering you. They're not.
They're just people being
just
people.
Leave. Just don't even think about it.
Yeah.
Go it's like, live in your own fucked up world.
Exactly. They will not stop until they dominate. So,
yeah,
the whole idea.
Trying to take over.
So, the whole idea. So the title of the article is talking about equality. How do we go from equality to domination? Now, if you're into the domination thing, within the bedroom, as long as we have consenting adults, hey, have at her. But equality is just that. We're not, it's not domination. It's like, don't tell me what to do. You know, don't, you know, stay away from me with your outreach. I'm not interested in your outreach.
Yeah.
You know, I want to do my own thing. Leave me the fuck alone.
I want the same rights that you have.
Exactly. It's like, since when, it's like equality, it's like, to these far right people, they're looking at equality is everyone's equality is like their oppression.
Yeah.
It's like, I can't oppress these people anymore. So my freedom is being infringed upon. Fucking assholes.
I can't be a hateful cunt.
Exactly. Now, hang on, we're not done yet. They intend, and they are successful so far, in brainwashing our children to believe that sodomy is right and good. Like I said before, I've never been into butt sex. Okay? Is it right? Not my place to say. I know it's not right for me.
Yeah.
Is it good? I don't know. From what I've read, a man's G spot is in his rectum. If that's so,
men don't have G spots.
I read it in an article. I saw it on the internet. It has to be true. But if
there's like, a whole milking the prostate thing.
Yeah. Okay. All right. But if gay sex was never intended, then why do you hear people that are gay talking about saying it feels good?
But even the whole sodomy thing, a lot of gay people don't even engage in that.
I've never, I don't know.
A lot of gay, I don't know a lot of gay people, but a lot of gay people that I've heard conversations talk about, they don't even engage in anal sex at all.
Okay.
It's all about the oral and the playing and the, all that kind of stuff. They don't even.
I'm on board with oral.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Who isn't? So that's what they enjoy the most.
Maybe if you have braces.
But I mean, you know, like,
stay away from me with those.
Don't even like so a lot of them don't even go near the sodomy thing. I mean that has become synonymous if you're a male gay man. It's just automatic you take it up the ass. And a lot of them don't.
Okay. Stay here for all your gay news. okay. We are trying to show parents what is happening to our children, and excuse me if I say, we should be screaming bloody murder in the streets. We should be screaming bloody murder in the street. This is not right. Those teachers that do this, that teach sodomy to little children, many people call them abusers, and I agree. Again, now we've gone back to, it's deflecting. We've gone back from a university with adults to all of a sudden children and abusing children.
Yeah, forcing them to be, or to think.
And this goes back to something we've talked about before. It doesn't matter. Like, I have gay friends. I have gay friends that have children. To the best of my knowledge, none of them are trying to indoctrinate their children into the gay lifestyle.
Well, for some reason, religious people think that gay is like is a communicable disease. That you can catch it.
You can't catch the gay? No, of course it's ridiculous. It's stupid.
Well, you can teach somebody to be gay.
Right. When did you decide to be straight?
Exactly. When I was taught to be straight at a very young That's age, right. And so I was straight.
Exactly.
And what about those who were gay? They were not taught
to be straight? It's a good thing my mom didn't show me more pictures of little boys. Because then I'd have been fucked. It's ridiculous.
It's just... there are no words.
No. All right, well, she's not done. She's not done.
Why not?
Okay. I learned the hard way the true agenda of the radical left. It's domination of our children. We're back to children again. And our culture. Sixth graders are now deciding they are homosexual. And I'm just asking the question, how can a child who doesn't even have proper hormones yet know if they're homosexual unless they've somehow been abused already? I don't know how the fuck she got to that. But you know what gets me is that if you can say, how can someone...
Where's She's making yada, me yada, a yada, seizure. Yada,
yeah, exactly. How can a child like that, if they can't know that they're gay, how can they know that they're Christian?
Yeah. Well, they've been confirmed. When's confirmation?
I don't fucking know.
They've been baptized, and then you do what? First communion.
First communion within the Catholic Church, I believe, is around 7.
Okay, and then confirmation is like 14 or something like that. Like,
I don't know.
15, 14.
Send us an email to caarogers.com. Let us know what that is. I have no fucking idea.
We don't pay attention to that kind of shit.
Exactly. Right. So now, unless they've already been abused. So now.
Okay, I want there to be another study done. It says how many trans or whatever individuals have actually abused another person. Because if you take it down to numbers, yeah, there's a far smaller population of LGBT community as opposed to straight people.
Sure.
But if you take it down to numbers, I think that it's a much larger percentage of straight people have abused people. I don't think single person who has used the wrong bathroom, and I'm doing air quotes here, has abused anybody ever.
No. And it's funny because around the whole bathroom issue that came up around the 2016 election and stuff like that, that issue came up again, and that was something that kind of reared its ugly head. And correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding is that there's never been anyone charged. So there's never been a trans person charged for assaulting anyone in a bathroom.
Yeah.
That's to the best of my knowledge. I'm going to reach out to a couple of the trans friends that I have on Facebook afterwards, not right now, but and ask them if that's true, if they have a little bit more information than I do. But I think I remember reading that it's never happened.
Yeah, all these people want to do is use the bathroom.
Yeah.
So what the...
Yeah. Yeah.
Why can't they use the bathroom?
I don't know.
Because they really want to peer under stalls.
You know what's really funny? Like,
what do you think they're gonna do? They're gonna wait for women to come out and then push them up against the wall? The funniest... And say, you know, do you like my dress? I mean, these people aren't
The funniest thing, and it screams fucking irony. The funniest thing about this, and it's not funny, it's sad, but I have to laugh. The funniest thing is, in attempting to stop people from being sexually harassed in bathrooms, the far right are going to sexually harass people in bathrooms.
Yes.
It's fucking hysterical because they have to. It's like, oh, I'm going to peer up the, I'm going to make sure they got the right.
Off. Make sure you got the right.
Make sure you got the right plumbing there. Miss or Mister, what are you exactly? What were you? What did Jesus give you?
And if somebody is going around and they're dressed as the sex that they weren't born as, and everybody is none the wiser, and so they go to use the bathroom from which they look like they should be using.
Yeah.
If they were not allowed to use that bathroom and had to go to the other bathroom, they're now announcing to anybody around in that area.
Yeah.
That I am...
They might as well put a fucking cowbell around their neck.
Yeah, just attach a neon sign.
There's one of my Facebook friends, a trans woman. I had no idea she was a trans woman. When I first saw pictures of her, I was like, that's a beautiful woman.
Yeah.
I had no idea. And I could have walked by her on the street or bumped into her in the hallway, you know, between bathrooms,
yeah,
you know, the men's and the women's room, and wouldn't have given it a second thought as to what bathroom she belonged in.
Yeah.
Because it'd be like, oh, that's an attractive woman. She's coming out of the women's room.
You're gay.
Okay. God damn it. Whatever. So, all right. So, we're not done.
Can we be, please?
Armkey eventually grew so upset that she couldn't even finish her remarks, simply declaring, "May God have mercy on us," and then she walked off the stage.
Thank you.
Apparently, there's a video of this woman having her little tantrum online, but I didn't want to play the video. I wanted to actually talk about it. That way, we could stop and break it up a little bit and have the discussion. But it's like,
cunty motherfucking bitch. I can't. The fact that people like that exist.
Yeah.
It infuriates me.
Yeah. So why do we have to do the work we do? One of the reasons, anyway. So. That's all I had for news. That's enough. Unbelievable. All right. So how long do you think we've been going?
No.
Are you peeking at the timer?
No. Well, I just wanted to see it. It seems like we've been talking a while.
50, almost 55 minutes.
We haven't even done our fallacy yet.
I know. Let's get into that. It's a good one, and it's something that I think we as the atheist community face a lot. It's something I've been confronted with personally dozens and dozens and dozens of times. And it's a good one. So, I don't really know that it has a technical name, but it's basically, anecdotal evidence.
Yes. It's used a lot for like vitamins and stuff.
Yep. Oh, I knew a guy who knew a guy who knew a guy.
Yeah.
Right. So,
testimonies from other people who have used it.
Exactly. So loosely defined, you use personal experience or an isolated example instead of a sound argument or compelling evidence. It's often much easier for people to believe someone's testimony as opposed to understanding complex data and variation across a continuum. Quantitative scientific measures are almost always more accurate than personal perceptions and experiences. Funny that. But our inclination is to believe that which is tangible to us and or the word of someone we trust over a more abstract statistical reality.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's probably, we've learned to do that because that's how you grow up. You talk to people that you know.
Yeah.
And they say, you know what, I tried this when I have the hiccups, I did this.
Exactly.
And it worked. And then you try it and maybe it
works. I have the hiccups. Scare me.
Yeah, or maybe, like, and when you try what they tried and it works, then that's your confirmation bias. Right?
Exactly. There's your confirmation bias. So, okay, so they give a little example here. So, example. And said that all was cool and everything, but his grandfather smoked like 30 cigarettes a day and lived to 97. So he didn't believe everything he read about the meta-analysis or methodologically sound study showing proven causal relationships. So, well, you know, my dad smoked for a bunch of years and he never got lung cancer. So the same thing. Or, you know, if you look at a good example about that we can tie recently is, climate change isn't a thing. Look how cold it is outside.
Yeah.
Or look how hot it is outside. So in the atheist community, we hear this a lot. Mormons. So we talked last time about Mormons, right?
Yeah.
Mormons love giving their testimony.
Kitchen floor has never been cleaner.
My kitchen floor is fucking spotless. But Mormons love giving their testimony. And it's like this, it's like, listen, no, you don't understand. Let me tell you what happened to me.
Yeah.
And they tell you this story, grandiose story of whatever the fuck it was. And it's like, it's like a cool story, bro. Because it doesn't mean anything to me.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I don't.
It's great that happened to you. But it still doesn't make anything that you believe true.
Yeah, exactly.
Unlike many people, I am concerned with what is true.
Yep. Yeah, it's
whether
funny that's.
It makes me feel nice or not. And it undoubtedly doesn't. I mean, I'm pretty sure the universe is going to, you know, die of heat death, like, you know, billions of years in the future. All the stars will go out and there'll just be nothing.
You said billions of years, right?
Oh, yeah. Like, it's a good 25 billion years out.
I remember hearing this, I was hearing this anecdotal account on an online debate that I was watching. And somebody was talking about, our sun is at about half-life.
Mm-hmm.
And so that about 4 billion years from now, you know, it was going to, you know, swell up and red giant and all that stuff, and then collapse into a white dwarf. And the person on this, I was like, oh, did you say 4 million years or 4 billion years? Is that 4 billion? Oh, okay. I was worried there for a second. Yeah, you're going to be around 4 million years either. So anyway, I thought that was pretty interesting. And we hear that a lot. And I think that it's something, and it does lead, you touched on it very briefly, it does lead into, you know, this confirmation bias where, and it talks about a little bit in the example that I gave, that you're more likely to, you know, we like stories.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when the stories are told by someone that we know, or we love, or we trust, and we are more likely to believe, because they're not going to lie.
This person might not be, they're not maliciously lying to you.
No, I don't think so.
They're telling you a story they believe to be true, or a story that that's how they actually interpreted some events happening to them.
Right.
But, I mean, if they were a different religion, they'd interpret those events differently.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they wouldn't see Jesus or Mary in the slice of toast if they were Buddhists.
Nope.
Right?
That's true.
If they were, if Vishnu was their god, they wouldn't, and they got a slice of toast with Mary in it, they wouldn't even recognize it.
Exactly.
If I had a piece of toast that had Mary's face in it, I probably wouldn't recognize it.
Have you eaten Mary?
There's something about Mary.
That's right.
But, like, I mean, like, humans are designed to notice, what do you call it?
Patterns.
To recognize patterns. Thank you. We're pattern recognition machines. Our brains are designed that way. So if there is something that looks like...
Hang on, who designed our brains to be that way?
Evolution. If there is something that looks like a face in a slice of toast, you're probably going to notice it.
Yeah.
But if you weren't Christian, you wouldn't liken it to be a special person from this special book.
Right.
Right? Like, they in Japan, they have those crabs that have the face of samurai
on their backs. Yeah. That's right,
they're called samurai crabs because these crabs actually have what looks like a samurai's face on the back. It's ridiculous how accurate, like, it's the actual face of a samurai.
Oh, no, when you see the pictures, like, you can Google samurai crab, and the pictures look spectacular.
And the thing is that they were catching these crabs, and when they picked one out of the basket that looked like a samurai's face, they chucked it back in the water because they didn't want to have that. So they pulled all the ones that didn't have a samurai-like face on their back and threw all the ones that did back in the ocean. So through evolution, now all of them look like a samurai on their back. We actually engineered these crabs to look like they have samurais on their back.
Artificial.
Unfortunately, they're still being eaten.
Artificial selection.
Exactly. Just like we do with dogs.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, that puts us over an hour.
Every week it's a new record.
I think we're still a few minutes off. We can sit and talk about meaningless shit if we really want to, but I don't think I want to do that.
No.
All right. So I think we've gotten into enough trouble for today. Anything else? Is there anything else you want to say?
There's always more to say.
Right.
We'll save it for another show.
Counting down to INR. Very, very excited about that.
Yes.
June 2nd, 3rd, and 4th.
Imagine No Religion.
Yes.
You keep saying INR, and I'm just wondering if anybody's picking up this show. Not from the beginning. They might not know that INR means Imagine No Religion.
Me, 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 me.
I'm trying to be inclusive.
Oh,
man.
I know. Imagine No Religion 7, to be precise. Anyway, yeah, that's coming up June 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. You can go to... the ImagineNoReligionConference.com, I believe, is the website. I think there are still some tickets available.
Is it always in Toronto, or does it move around?
No, it's usually in BC.
Oh, okay.
That's why I'm super stoked that it's here.
Yeah.
And now Matt Dillahunty's going to be there.
Even better.
That's going to be even better. But we're seeing them the following night.
Yeah, following him and...
Lawrence Kress.
Thank you. Lawrence Kress and Matt Dillahunty are going to be together...
That's going to be awesome, too.
Yeah, that'll be a fun night.
That's great. All right. So I think we're going to sign off now, and we'll be back here next week with some more debauchery and news stories. I should say, if there's anything that you want us to talk about, you can either send me a message on Twitter. It's at @the_CA_podcast. You can also go to the Facebook page, just search The Canadian Atheist on Facebook. And you can also send us an email, theca@rogers.com. And send us any stories that you think might be funny. And if we use your story, we'll give you a mention. And maybe one day we'll have t-shirts and we'll send you a t-shirt.
Where's my t-shirt?
It's coming. The check's in the mail. Anyway. So, until next week, have fun, everybody. And I've been Michael.
I've been Dean.
And we will see you later. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This has been The CA. Thanks for listening. If you like what you heard, please drop by the iTunes store and give us a review and subscribe to get the latest episodes as soon as they release. Just a reminder, the views expressed on this broadcast are solely those of the hosts and are for entertainment purposes only. Never take advice from two guys expressing an opinion on a podcast. That's just silly. See you back here soon.